Well, I desire the Lord to help us this morning, so I desire your prayers. We want there to be something good for us this morning. I was thinking about some scriptures in 2 Timothy 4 and 7 and 8. Paul says here, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. You know, there isn't anything maybe about any of that. Paul knew. He knew his life. He knew his walk with the Lord. And he said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith and I've finished my course. And he said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about fighting. I know there's different kinds of fighting, but there's a fight in the things of the Lord. And Paul said, I fought a good fight. And I want us to think about that this morning a little bit, about fighting a good fight and laying hold on eternal life. I believe there's some keys to that. In the natural world, people war and fight and they really work at knowing how to fight, because they're up against many times an enemy that if they make wrong steps, they're going to be overwhelmed and destroyed maybe and killed and all of those things at great cost. And so I want us to think about the Lord equipping us to fight. I want to think about when it's time to run. You know, there's a time in a battle to just get out of there. There's a time to run and to flee, as the Bible calls it. And we've got to know when that is. And so I want to look at that a little bit this morning, maybe first. And we've got to learn what to fight. We're not fighting a carnal warfare. We're not fighting against someone. Even if there's someone against us or what, we're not fighting against someone. We're fighting the battle of the Lord, fighting against the spirits of the enemy. And we're fighting for those good things that God has for us in the congregation, in our lives. He has wonderful things for his people. We believe that, don't we? We're going to have to fight for them, because they're not just going to come flowing down to us without some opposition. I want to just start in 1 Timothy then, 6 and 11. Seems like Paul kind of wrote quite a bit to Timothy. It says here, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto also thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And so I want us to think a little bit this morning about what Paul said here. He gave some admonition that I believe is golden for us. He said to Timothy, he said, and he wrote, O man of God. I believe he was probably talking to Timothy, but knowing this was going to be read. And he says, flee. Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness. You know, those things are very real, aren't they? Follow after those things that make for spiritual life. Follow after things that add godliness in our life. Faith. Follow after things that make for faith. There's a lot of faith damaging and destroying things in the world today. You know, there's some things we can follow after that will build our faith. And there's some obedience to God that if we will allow it, He will build our faith. Follow after love and patience and meekness. And we need those things, don't we? Well, Paul says you follow after those things and flee these other things. I want to look at some of the things. We'll come back to this here, but I just want to look at some of those things that that he tells us to flee from. In 2 Timothy 2 and 22, over here, we find it says, flee also youthful lusts. And again, he gives the same admonition, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What is a youthful lust? What is it about the youth that is strangely strong at that time? Isn't there things that as a youth, people are, the passions get high, don't they? They say that a youth will feel things. I don't know that this is true, but the saying is that a youth will feel things seven times stronger than an adult will. You know, there's just something about that, those feelings that are brought to bear, and they're very strong, and life is it's very strong. It's very interesting. There's a lot out there. And so he told the ones here, he said, you flee those youthful lusts. Those things, there's something about passion that, tell me, I don't know how it is altogether, but people lose all sense of reason when passions run high, don't they? One of them is anger. When anger runs high, people lose all sense of everything. I've seen the most obnoxious and things that people are so ashamed of, and sometimes they kill people, things like that in their anger. But you know, there's a lot of other things. There's a lot of youthful passions and lust, things that the youth is drawn out after, the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the opposite sex, the lust of strength, the lust of pleasure. All of those things beckon to the youth in a way that is not as strong when you're older most of the time. And so Paul, knowing this, he said, you flee those youthful lusts. You run from those things. He did not tell them, and he could have said, you be strong in the face of that. You be strong in the face of those temptations of the flesh. But he said, you flee from those things. And so this morning, I want us to think a little bit about learning to fight in a way that is effective. We have to know when to run, don't we? We have to know when to flee. We have to know when to stand and fight. And so when our passions are high, when things happen in our lives, that's not the time to make rash decisions. That's the time to flee away to a little place of safety with the Lord and be quiet a little bit. Ask the Lord. Begin calling upon God. Lord, help me. I'm human. I need you to help me. I need you to bring my passions in control. I need you to bring my mind in control and flee those youthful lusts and follow after righteousness. Follow after faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The word lust there, it means a longing, especially for what is forbidden. Concupiscence. I didn't look it up again. I've looked it up many times, but it's a looseness. Desire, lust after, those things that would appeal to us. Paul says, get away from those things. Run from those things. Because you get mired in the midst of that. And I don't know what happens, but I'm telling you, if you're wise, you'll run. Because the human mind becomes somehow inebriated, if you want to say it that way. Eve was tempted. And she saw that fruit and she saw that it was good. And she saw it was good to look on. And it was good to eat. And she just, it was just so tempting. You know what Eve should have done? Instead of trying to stand there and outwit the devil, she should have been running. She should have been saying, God said, don't do this. He said, in the day that I eat of this, I'm going to die. And so I believe if Eve would have been wise in her fight, she could have won that battle, don't you think? I believe she could have. You know, in 1 Corinthians 6 and 18, I'm just going to kind of skip over a few of these because the scriptures tell us a number of things. It says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. He says to flee this thing. The youth of our land, it is a common and everyday occurrence in most, I would say most probably, teenagers' lives at a certain point. I want to tell you, there's so much sin and destroying effects from those kind of things. So much pain, so many tears are cried, so many after effects of people's lives, of children that don't have somebody to guide them up in life and all those things. I want to tell us this morning, flee from those things of the flesh that have such a strong appeal this morning. Don't try to say, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to flee. The Bible tells us to run with everything we have from getting in any situations. Make a wide mark around things that we know the flesh, the passions are there. We have to make us a wide path around some things, folks. And so I want to encourage us this morning. We want to be able to say when we come to the end of our way, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I know that now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge, he's got it there for me. And I can hardly wait to get there. I think Paul felt that in his life. He had given his life for the things of God. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 14, it says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Do you know that sometimes I've wondered in my mind many times, what was the call of idolatry? Why was it such a temptation to them? It seems to me like to go and bow down to an idol would be the last thing a man would want to do. It seems like that's foolishness. There isn't anything in it. But I want to tell you, it was a strong draw in their time. And there was things that went along with it. Loose, lascivious things that went right along with those things. Their friends were there. All these things. It was society. It was the society they lived in. And Paul said, you flee from that thing. Draw you a wide mark around it and don't even get close to it. Now, I'm going to admit this morning, I'm just talking to those that really want to go to heaven. Maybe I shouldn't say it that way. Of course, I'm talking to all of us. But I want to tell you, those of us that really want to go to heaven, this is what it tells us this morning. Draw a wide mark around idolatry. The things of this life, the things that are our civilization and our people in this world, the United States, right here in Oklahoma, that they're carried away with. Those things don't lend a spiritual hand to us, do they? The sports world, the fashion world, all of those things, folks, we ought to draw a line around it. I'll tell you what they will do. They will steal from us. They'll steal from us our desire to hear the Word of God. They'll steal from us our desire to be quiet and to listen to the voice of God. They'll steal from us our desire to do those things that deeply satisfy the soul, such as giving ourselves a life of service to the Lord. You know, how does that work out when we're all up on all of these things and all involved in the spirits of the world? I will tell you, you're not going to be willing to bring yourself down and commit your life as a living sacrifice if we are worshiping in idolatry and participating in the things that the world around us is, it's their life. It's their dreams and their hopes. It's what they do. Well, it's not that every one of those things is so wicked in itself. But Paul said, you flee from idolatry. You don't give your devotion to something that's not God. That's not God. Give our devotion to the Lord. On down in that same chapter, Paul says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. So that seems like a no-brainer. But you know what? Paul wrote it plainly so we could have it this morning. He says, don't try to do both. Don't try to be a partaker of the things of this world and of God's things. Flee from those things. Flee from idolatry. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, I want to look here now. At a little something else where it says here, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. 10 and 13 of 1 Corinthians. Listen to this. The Lord wants us to know this. There hasn't any temptation taken you. You can mark this down. It's already marked down for you. But such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I was thinking about, I looked up major retreats or something like that. And the first one that came up of 10 major retreats in the world's history, the first one that came up was when Washington was in the New York area there, and the British had come in and they had taken Long Island, and they had Washington's army, just 9,000 men or so, but it was the hope that they had. And they had them, they were pinning them in, and one more day would have been complete. In fact, the next morning would have been complete. But Washington did what they say is one of the, it's a marvel of how this was accomplished. But they took the men, the fishermen, and they took those boats that they had, and all night long they went back and forth across that river, and they were trying to get out of there and get away from that place because they knew they were in a corner. They knew they were not going to be able to survive that. And so, when morning came, they had most of their troops over. They had most of their artillery over, but not all of it. But something very amazing happened, which I suppose is not so out of character for that area, but a very dense and heavy fog came up. And they were able to complete and get all their men across. Now, the scripture tells us, folks, there's not a temptation taken us, but what God will with the temptation make a way to escape. If we take the Lord's way, do you know that there's going to be a way there for us to escape? Now, if we don't flee, if we find ourselves centered up and we're just trying to battle it out, when the Lord says flee, then we can't expect the Lord to have that way of escape for us. But He told us that He would, with the temptation, make a way to escape. Washington got across that river and made that escape. And when the British, by the time they figured out what was going on, it was too late. He wasn't pinned in any longer. They were expecting to arrest him, to get him right there, to have his army and be really probably done with the conflict. This was only 2 months into the war. You know, this morning, I believe that we're a little bit like that sometimes. Folks, sometimes we may feel pinned in. We may feel like the devil says, this is the end of you. Have you ever had that? There may come a time in your life that you'll have that. That you'll feel like, I don't want to lose, but I don't know how to go forward. I don't know what to do. I can't, I don't have any more strength. I don't have any more faith. Do you know what? God dwells there too. And He said, if we'll take His way, when we get to that place, there'll be a way to escape. There'll be a dense fog. there will be something that we can get away from that place. And so this morning I just want to encourage us today, folks, we can make it all the way to heaven by the help of the Lord this morning. Let's look for the ways of the Lord. Let's follow after righteousness and peace. Let's follow after patience and meekness. And look for those things and ask God to build them into our life. We're talking about fighting a good fight. We're talking about winning a warfare where there's now a crown laid up for us. That doesn't happen accidentally. Sometimes we've got to fight. Sometimes we've got to flee. And I want to encourage us today to heed that warning, to flee when it's time to flee, and not let ourselves get in situations. I want to read another situation in 1 Timothy 6 and 9 to 12 that it tells us to flee. It says here, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. That's the very scripture, I believe we read that a while ago. Flee these things and run from them. That's the scripture we even started with this morning. And so when we see the scope of life, let's settle our hearts on one thing. God in heaven, I want to do your will, and that's all. I want to do your will more than anything else, and I want you to deal with me accordingly. I want you to help me to get there. I want you to help me to get through life. And I will tell you, we're going to come through many of these things. We're going to come through many things in life. Now, we may feel strong as ever right now, but I will tell you, there's going to be things that you're not going to feel strong in, and you're going to have to flee, and you're going to have to run from those things, from some things. Some things we have to man up, if you want to call it that, and fight. So this morning, I hope and pray, God help us each one. Young folks, I hope you strap your armor on. I hope you decide in your heart, I am going to heaven. By the grace of God, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to find out what it is God wants me to do in my life. I'm going to find His grace. I want to walk with Him, and I'm going to pay the price to do that. And I fear many times that's where we miss it. We just don't do that, do we? And so we land up with kind of a roller coaster ride. I want to look at Ephesians 6 and 10 and move on. From that's one aspect of fighting, is fleeing. But that's not by any means the only aspect. Ephesians 6 and 10, listen to the admonition here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to encourage us this morning to put on the whole armor of God. Not part of it. Not just try to flee. That's all right when we're supposed to flee. But I will tell you, the Lord has ground for us to take. If we end up raising a family, we're going to have some armor, folks. The world is decimated today, all around us, by the enemy's attack on the family. We need some strong men. We need some men that have strapped on armor and learned to use it. We need some men that can actually discern between what is good and what is evil. And we think that's a no-brainer. That's not true. The smartest men in our nation seem like they miss it completely. Many of them do when it comes to wisdom and when it comes to their life and their home, their family, raising the next generation that's going to be in control, going to be in the rulers, going to be the rulers of our land. And we miss it right there. I want to encourage us today to take upon us the whole armor of God. I think many times we take on some things. We take on part of it. And we allow places that the enemy can penetrate us. And so he goes on to say, stand therefore. Let's see. Take upon us, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. What about truth this morning? Is there such a thing as truth? Or is it relative to our situation? Or to our day and age? Or is there a thing called truth? The scriptures teach us very plainly that there is a thing called truth. And I will tell you, we will do well to take heed to that light that shines in darkness this morning. It says here, have your loins girt about with truth. And I want to think about the very idea of truth this morning, just for a minute. You know, truth is something that stands in contrast to error. It stands in contrast to what we want to hear many times. In our society today, you turn the radio on and everything is about call in, give us your opinion. What do you think? Here, text your opinion or however they do it, tweet it or whatever. And so we find all of that. That is our society. And we have to be careful of our society's mindset this morning. It's not all about our opinion. It's about finding the will of the Lord and finding truth and finding righteousness in this world, in today's world. It's not going to be something where everybody pats you on the back and says, good job. You're just a wonderful person. They're going to persecute you. And they're going to say all manner of evil against you sometimes. Not all the time. Because there's something about people of truth that is very respectable. And we still find a lot of that in today's world. But we're not going to be able to think that all the time it's going to be good. Truth about ourself. That's maybe sometimes the hardest truth, isn't it? Truth to say, yeah, that was me. I need some help. I need the Lord to help me. Yeah, I said that, and it wasn't really nice. You know what? Truth this morning. We need to love truth. We need to love truth that tells us what our heart is really doing. Because we lie to ourselves if we're not careful. And many people do this, and they land up missing the mark because they haven't dealt with truth. This morning, I want to encourage us to love truth. To love the truth of the doctrines of the Bible. They're not all just so easy, are they? They tell us we're going to be different than the world. We're going to look different. Because the world is all involved in what's it tell us about the things they put on. And the gold and the silver and all of those things and the shininess and all of that. And the world lives off of that, doesn't it? And the Bible tells us, we want to have something deeper, don't we? We want to have something way down in here, a meek and a quiet spirit, a spirit that's humble, a spirit that's kind and gentle in this life. Dealing with truth this morning, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the devil, don't we? We wrestle against his impositions in high places even. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, I want to encourage us this morning. I know we know all these things, mostly. But righteousness is something, Lord, help us to have that on. It protects our vitals to have that in our life. I know the world today, all kinds of religion all around us, scoffs at that very thing. It's the righteousness of Jesus, and He's in heaven, and it's His righteousness. I want to tell you, it is His righteousness, and He wants us to live it. He wants to give it to us, and in this present world, He wants us to have that. And so He says, you take upon you this armor. Be clad with righteousness in your life, and when the devil comes accusing you, when the devil comes tempting you, you'll have something to protect from those things. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so I just want to, I know we've read that kind of quickly, but our shield of faith, belief in God, that we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked if we believe and we know that God is in control. God will help us in our battles. I know it's so. And so we seek Him, don't we? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I know we've mentioned this a number of times lately, but I don't want to quit mentioning it. If we want to win the fight, it's not just for us, folks. It's for those that we love. And we want to win that. It says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The Lord wants us to pray. He wants us to pray some things down. I hope that right now we are praying for Monarch Springs Camp Meeting, for the other meetings that's going to be coming up. And I really haven't thought so much about the other meetings. But, you know, the Lord help us. I believe those kind of things, when we pray, it is an enormous weapon. When we use the Word of God in our life and we know it, I fear that many times we don't know the Word of God very well. And the Lord wants us to know it. He wants us to read it, not just a piece here and there. And I appreciate the little things that we get from here and there. But folks, we need to have our armor on. Know the truth of the Word. Know what it says. Study what it means. Study the things that it says. It'll protect us against false doctrine and things that come along. The devil comes along knocking, and the Lord will come along and say, this is the way. Here, the scripture that you studied last week, this is the way. Walk ye in it this morning. Oh, how we want the Lord to do that for us and to keep us and to help us to war good warfare. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 and 5, it talks a little about warfare there. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not guns and big machinery. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, folks. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That weapon of prayer, that weapon of humility, that weapon of love that we have, it's mighty. It'll pull down big strongholds. It'll pull down those things that keep people from getting saved. And that takes sometimes a real effort and humbling on our own part, sometimes in ways that we shouldn't even have to do. But it goes on to say, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity. Bring it into that place that it's supposed to be. Get it where it's supposed to be, captive. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. I thought about the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. I want to talk a little bit now about where wars and fightings come from. Not the Lord's war. And it says here, Paul said here, I don't fight as uncertainly as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. You know, we have to recognize this kind of thing. Bring ourselves into subjection when we recognize, you know what, I really think my attitude is going south here. And you know what, when we find us fighting a battle with attitude, let's bring that into subjection to the Lord. And let's don't say, but they deserve it, or but, or anything but. Let's bring it into subjection to where it's supposed to be. In James 4 and 1 and 3, I just want to look at this a little bit here. Because James 4 and 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? You know what that word lust means? In other scriptures, it's mentioned as pleasures. And so those things, those wars and fightings that James was talking about here, he said, come they not hence even of your, what you take pleasure in your own heart? Maybe that little revengeful feeling. Maybe that little, you know what? The Lord wants us to bring those things into subjection, doesn't He? To the Lord. And not let them run. He said, ye lust and have not. And that word, lust is a little different. It means to set the heart upon. That is, long for, rightfully or otherwise. It can be used in a good sense and is. Covet, desire, to lust after. And so, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. You ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust, upon what you have your heart upon. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So I just want us to think a little bit about this morning. This is a warfare. And many people in the world are all embroiled in their hearts and in their minds. It's not the warfare of the Lord. It comes from our own pleasure of our own anger, or our own dissatisfaction, or our own resentment, or our own rebellion, or whatever it is. And so when we come to these kind of things, he says, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have. You know, when it comes to this, I believe the Lord really, He wants us to come to Him and to bring these things into subjection. Now, this is our warfare. Our warfare is not with someone else. It's not with what someone else did. But I will tell you, what will hurt us is if we allow the devil to cause us to fight and to war and to have those things in our heart. We must realize when we have the weapon of love, it has to be free to be used. We cannot love and hate at the same time. These things have to be destroyed. They have to be repented of. They have to be taken out of our life, out of our heart, that the Lord can put within us those things that will give us effective fighting, resistance against the enemy. When we are, James said, from whence come wars and fightings among you? I will tell you this morning, I know lots, this is a big deal in many lives, wars and fightings. Paul told us, he said, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Do you know this morning, that's a command that we have from the Bible that we ought to love? We have to be willing and to open our hearts to those things. Let the Lord fill our lives with those kind of things and resist the enemy that would cause us toward anybody, even if it is in our own home, toward anybody to have anger and bitterness and those kind of things. The Lord help us today. The scriptures tell us that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I really believe that this, if we would allow it, if we will fight a good warfare, if we will allow the Lord to build that into our life, we must first deal with truth, deal with where we're at, deal with why we do the things that we do, why we have the anger that we have towards someone. Lord, cleanse us from all unrighteousness and make us your people and cause our hearts and our lives to be full of love, full of your meekness, full of your godliness and your goodness in our lives this morning. I have just a few more scriptures here in 1 Timothy 1 and 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Sometimes we're sloppy if we're not very careful with the things that we allow into our life. And he told him here, you hold faith and a good conscience. You be careful not to let your conscience be defiled. I will tell you, the devil will accuse anybody, but we don't have to have something within us that he can actually lay truth upon this morning. And so he says, hold a good conscience. If we'll do that, folks, and we'll keep ourselves clear, I believe the Lord can work in our lives and can take us to heaven. The scriptures tell us, be sober. That's 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. The same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Folks, I believe the Lord wants us to go to heaven and he wants us to get there. And he wants to give us grace. He's called the God of all grace, the God of all comfort. His grace is way more than we could ever use or need. But we've got to learn to fight. We've got to learn to humble ourselves, to pray. When we get in close places, instead of defending, to say, Lord, this man needs your help. I'm asking you to help me today. And you know, I believe if we'll do that and be sober and vigilant, knowing that our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking to devour you and me. You know, I believe we can win. I believe we can do the work of the Lord. I believe we can win other people to the Lord. Folks, I believe the Lord has a lot for us. But we're going to have to learn to fight and learn how to use the weaponry that he's given us. Many times I think we use weaponry that's of the flesh. It makes strife. It parts people's ways. It hurts people. We're going to have problems sometimes, folks. We're all going to have problems. Sometimes between us, it's natural. The Lord's disciples had problems. But you know what? God wants to give us the weapons that can destroy the works of the devil. That we can walk together. That we can find heaven. That we can have a place here that's a sanctuary from Satan's hard taskmastering ways. That we, that our children can grow up here as, how does the scripture say it, as calves of the stall, it says. What's the other one? Okay. There's a couple of places there. That's what the Lord wants for us today. I believe He has it for us. I long and I look to the Lord, and I appreciate so much our congregation. I love it here. I don't know where I'd rather be. But I will tell you, I want to see it better and better. I want to see the Lord work in all the ways He wants to. I want to see this as a fruitful hill, as a place that is very accommodating to children and young folks and old folks giving themselves to the will of God. Let's go farther than just a life of defense. I wasn't speaking of, I hope I didn't seem like it, I'm not speaking of just a life of defense against the enemy. I believe the Lord has so much good ground for us to take. I believe He wants our place to be a fertile place here for the youth to grow up and to love the Lord and to give their lives. Let's pray for it. Let's pray that God will make it that way, that we can see them grow up like calves of the stall. Amen.